First Thessalonians chapter 1 in one hand, Matthew chapter 24 in the other. And we'll look at a couple of verses out of First Thessalonians, and then we'll get back over to Matthew 24, and we're going to look at some other places in the Word of God. Appreciate you being here this evening as we look in the Word of God. Tonight we'll be looking on a message. It's going to take me three separate times to put it together, which are three separate times to preach it, rather. Tonight will be part one. This is part one of the Great Tribulation. And as we discussed a few weeks back, the Great Tribulation, according to the Bible, has nothing to do with the church. The church is not mentioned past Revelation chapter 3. When John sees over there where the man says, come up hither, that's where the church is raptured out. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What's going to happen is God's going to deal with that Jew during that time. And as we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you look at verse number 10, here's what God says to do until that time. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. God has got the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is coming soon. And we thank God for it. We appreciate how the Lord's going to work all this out and bring his Son back. And he's going to send him back to get us. If you look over at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says he's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. The church won't be here for the great tribulation. He says in chapter 5, verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not appointed us unto wrath, his wrath. You and I suffer persecution. We have trouble on every hand. Man is born of woman's a few of days and full of trouble, but we're exempt from the wrath of God. Now, as we look at that thing, look over at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. A lot of the mistaken views on the rapture from the Great Tribulation comes from this chapter. And if you'll go back and study your Bible and you'll see who's talking and who's being talked to at that time and look at things like that, the Bible will be pretty clear about itself. If you're trying to take a commentary and read the scriptures and not use the scriptures themselves, then you have whatever somebody's particular slant is towards that. I recommend people go by what the Bible say and let it speak for itself. As you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, it says, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, he's pointing out, this is Jesus Christ talking to the Jews there in front of him. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. And I'm reminded again by the quote I read you every week. We look at prophecy. Christians who know nothing of future events will have little confidence or hope as they face the future. Only those who are familiar with prophecy can face what seems to be an uncertain future with peaceful confidence. It's you and I that looks at the scriptures and says, we believe God. And we can confidently go out and do what God told us to do, knowing he's going to take care of everything just like he says. Now, as we look tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We come to you right now, and we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives. Help us, God, as we go into the scriptures tonight and look at the great things of God and take in this precious book. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll move amongst us, Lord God. You'll touch us from on high. Lord, give us comfort and encouragement. I pray, Lord God, that you'll just be with us now. God, that you'll move on the saved people, Lord, and help us, Lord God, because we're facing desperate times, it seems like, both politically, spiritually, economically, and everything else. But God, we know that you are the one that controls all those things. And God, that you'd help us keep our eyes on Jesus so they won't look so big to us. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. As we're getting into this time of great tribulation, and we're looking at part one, this message of the great tribulation, I'm reminded that the scriptures, as we get over here in Revelation chapter 6, I want to give you a brief overview right quick of what's going on in the tribulation time and how this is laid out in the Bible. Revelation chapter 6 and 7 go together. That's part of what we would consider the first 25% of the great tribulation and what's going on there. Then Revelation chapter 8 and 9 go together and cover the second quarter of it. And then Revelation 11 literally is the halfway point. Revelation 13 picks up and runs simultaneously with chapter 16. Then Revelation 17 down to Revelation 20 are the last part of it. Now, as we look at that and we keep that in mind, let's go over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, as you turned in your Bibles over there, I want you to notice something. We're going to answer some questions tonight, I believe, that will help us as we go into this thing. It'll help us see what the Bible's got to say about all this. Revelation chapter 6. I want you to note some places in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened, underline this, one of the seals. He opened one of the seals. He said, and as I heard it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And this is what happens when the first seal is broken or opened. It says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Listen, hey, this is the way the devil does things. He's going to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ like he is right here. We find out he begins to mimic him. He's got a bow, but he has no arrows. He's on a white horse, but not on the white horse. He's got a crown, but he's not got many crowns. He comes forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer. This is what the devil does right here. Listen, hey, and when we look at the devil throughout Scripture, he always mimics the things of God. You'll see in this time of great tribulation, there's the beast, the antichrist, and the false prophet. Three of them.
Amen.
You'll find out that is a blasphemous mimic of the Trinity of our Lord. You'll find out that he does things like that. Verse 3 says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Underline the second seal there in verse 3. And it says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. What's he taking from the earth? Peace. They're going to be crying out, peace, peace, and there is no peace. All the false prophets do it right now. All the false ones do it now. But this is going to be in their time of tribulation. What's he going to do? He's going to take away peace. It says so they should kill one another. See, the devil's going to lull this crowd to sleep during the great tribulation. They're going to think we got all this peace. We finally got our one world leader and our one world government and our one world race, and we've got all that going together. And everybody's going to be so happy till this rider shows up. Then they're going to start killing one another. Kind of just like we're doing right now, but it's going to be a whole lot bigger scale. That's when they're going to find out that peace is not what the devil brings. Don't ever give in to the devil. He ain't got peace for you.
Amen.
Look at this. And when they opened the third seal, it says, underline the third seal. And I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine. What's he going to do? He's bringing natural disasters in this thing, and he's bringing out stuff, but they're telling him don't hurt the barley and the wine. Then if you get down to verse 7, watch this one. And when it opened, underline this, the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. What happens then? During this time of great tribulation, when the four seals open there, you're going to start seeing more death. He said the powers given him take out 25% of this population on the planet earth. I'm not good with math. I won't even begin to say this, but that's a lot of people. And if you consider 1/4 of 7 billion people, that's a lot of folks.
Yep.
And it says he's going to kill with these things. Number one, the sword. You know why? They've got gun control. You Democrats keep wanting it, you're going to get it.
Yep.
You liberals keep wanting it, you're going to get it. You folks who keep saying that we ain't got a Muslim problem, you're going to get it. We're going to get rid of the guns. It's coming. But I want you to notice what they killed with. The sword. You take away a gun away from a man, what's he going to do? He'll pick up a rock. You take away his rock, he'll take his hands. Whatever he's got to take. The murder's still in his heart. And I see right there, they've been hollering gun control. Well, you're going to get it. Only one problem. They're going to find something else to kill with. And I see here, he says he's going to kill with a sword. And then he's going to kill, it says, with hunger. So they're going to use the very thing that everybody says, well, we need to stop hunger in this world. Why is it people that have over $55 million in the bank telling me that's got less than $55 that I need to give to a hunger cause that they could take care of in one check and won't take care of it?
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're getting paid to say that. And notice this. Hunger is going to take out part of the people. So all this, we need to feed the world. Hey, tell Hollywood goodbye. They're not for you anyway. I see all these stars and all these people sending us other stuff. What are they going to do? They're not going to give to it even then. I notice he says there in verse 9, watch this one, and we had to open, underline this, the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, what were they killed for? Two things. For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. When people tell me they stand up for the, they stand for the word of God, and they don't even know what the word of God is, how are you standing for it? You won't be numbered with this much, though. Don't worry about it. Because, listen, if you don't know where the word of God is, you probably don't have no testimony either.
Amen.
And I see they were killed for those things. And it says, and they cried with a loud voice in verse 10, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. What were they killed for? Standing up for this book right here, the one in your lap, and for the testimony they had that they believed that Jesus Christ was living in them, that he had saved their never dying souls, and that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They get killed, they're there, and when that fifth seal opened, he said, I saw these people right here. Don't worry, if you die for the Lord, God not only keeps your records, he keeps you close too. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You've been looking for your blood moon. It's coming. It's just not here yet.
Yeah.
You've been looking for the blood moons that all these guys are going out talking about. Well, guess what? This one's coming in the tribulation.
Right.
Listen, he may be closer than you think. Don't rush out and buy the books on it because they're just there to make a dollar off of. They're not there to help you. It's going to be like those Y2K books. Remember them? Some of you remember that, Y2K. It's going to be when the world shuts down. And you know what? They made untold millions of dollars off that. And guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. And you were sitting there holding your Y2K book in one hand and your can of beans in the other and said, I guess I'm going to go right back out in the world just like I did on December 30th back there. And you had to go back out and face it with the rest of us.
Yep.
The sixth seal. Now look at this. He said there's going to be a moon. It says it became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Notice how this thing goes. This earthquake's the earthquakes of Matthew chapter 24. And you know what it's doing? It's moving land. See, we think that those earthquakes that's happening now are the fulfillment of that. No, that ain't even close. These earthquakes are going to move pieces of land around. And it says in verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Can I show you something here? This little picture right here towards the end of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. See she from man whose breath in his nostrils, and where is he to be accounted of? Right in that little passage over in Isaiah 2, they're taking their Oscars and their Super Bowl trophies and their NBA championships and their Cy Young awards and all that stuff, and they're throwing them to the moles and the bats. You know what? You know why why this world's turning around giving everybody a trophy right now? Because they're going to be doing all that instead of worshiping God. They're going to be throwing all the trophies away when this time comes.
Yep. Amen.
There'll be plenty available to throw. And as I see, as we head into this thing, before we get to chapter 7, look over chapter 8 and show you this. Here's where the seventh seal is opened. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, no, underline seventh seal, you got chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. And it says, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And he's going to go into these seven trumpets here, but I want you to notice something. It says there was silence about the space of a half an hour. Thank God eventually we'll have peace and quiet somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
I used to hear preachers preach that that meant there was no women in heaven because there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. But there's more drama queens that are men than there are women now. So I think it might be safe to say that we're just going to get peace and quiet now.
Either way,
amen. Amen. Listen. Trying to help you. Trying to help you. Now let's look here. As we get into this thing tonight, we look at this part one here. We saw the seven seals there. As we get into chapter 7, I want you to see here, he says, and after these things, he said, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Chapter 7, verse 1, the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. You think it's hot now? Well, God cuts off the fan. And it says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And he says this, he says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Long before Revelation chapter 13, when the beast starts marking them up and has the idea of putting the mark on his, God's already marked his.
Yep.
Now, I want to show you something tonight. I want to deal with 144,000. I want to help you, and if there is a Jehovah's Witness listening to us tonight by way of the internet, I want to help you as well. I want to be good to you and be kind to you. And I want to show you something that will help you out. Are you ready? Watch this here. I want us to answer four questions that will tell us about these 144,000. Number one question, according to Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, what are these people called? They're not called Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not called Russellites. They're not called Baptists. They're not called Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Holiness. They're called this, the servants of God. Now, what you're seeing here is you're seeing the servants of God being set apart and sealed by God Almighty here through the touch of a seal there. And listen, they are called the servants of God. Their only business, they're not going to be building churches. The churches are gone. They're not going to be holding the Lord's table and having the Lord's Supper and having communion. There will be no need for that at this time because the church has been taken out of the earth. But what they're going to be doing is serving God by standing up and doing something that we can't find nobody to do right now because everybody's scared of Hillary and their crowd.
Yep.
And that's preaching. They're not going to be preaching on the current topics in the local newspaper. They're not going to be preaching on the USA Today. They're not going to be keeping up with what's going on Fox News and CNN to preach. They're going to be preaching the gospel. Now, don't you notice something? If you look down in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, second question we're going to ask is, what nationality are these people according to Revelation chapter 7, verse 4? It says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, Jews. See that? Were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, Jews. Were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, Jews. Were sealed 12,000 of the tribe of Aser, Jews, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, were sealed 12,000. Jews of the tribe of Manasseh, again another Jewish tribe, were sealed 12,000. It says in verse 7, of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed 12,000. Jewish of the tribe of Levi, still Jewish, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, were sealed, again Jewish, 12,000. Verse 8, of the tribe of Zebulun, which is Jewish, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Jewish people now. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, you'll notice something. As we get to this point in Scripture, the nationality of these people in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 through 8, without a doubt, all these people are Jews. Not just a Jew. Not just part Jew, where I got Jewish relatives. These people are 100% Jews. And God has set them apart and set them aside, and He sealed them. They're His servants, and they're there for a reason. They're there to preach the gospel. And what they're going to do is, they're going to stand up and preach the gospel. There's not a man, one, going to be ordained by any church in this tribulation time, because the church is gone. These men are just going to be called of God and come up and start doing it. Now here's the thing. The Bible tells us not to give heed to endless genealogies. And as we look at these men right here, you would have to agree to me with me that the temple that was destroyed back in the first century in AD 70 ensures the fact that no Jew knows what tribe he belongs to right now. But the records that God keeps are so specific and so detailed, he's going to know which one belongs to which one and is going to not have a problem picking 12,000 out of each one that he just named right here.
Yep.
And there's no record here on earth of who they are at this time. But God knows.
Right.
Do you know that as you look at that thing, we are seeing the question answered. What nationality? They're Jews. And they're going to come out of the right tribe with the right thing. And all this is going to be set aside just like this right here. I'm amazed how no matter what gets lost here on earth, God still has it wrote down in heaven. And I see as we get to this thing here, the third question I'll ask you tonight is we get to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 down to verse 13. A crowd of people are described. And we ask the question, are they saved during the Great Tribulation? Did they get saved during this time? Don't you see this? After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You see that thing right there? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb, and unto the Lamb. And all angels stood round about the throne, and it says, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne in their faces and worshiped God. What were they doing? Something you can't find a lot of people doing this day and age, and that's worshiping God. I don't understand quite how it is that these people right here can worship God freely in heaven, but we got the same God who's on our side on this side of the grave. Why can't we worship God now? But watch verse 12. He said, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And he says, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? What are these people? They're people that are saved out of the Great Tribulation. I heard somebody say one time that they didn't think many people would be saved out of the Great Tribulation. Wrong. There's a great multitude saved. Who was doing the preaching? The 144,000 Jews that we just named off over here. Isn't it funny how God was able to just keep all this together, and with everything falling apart, the seals being opened, everything going on around him, he's able to still go out and save, seeking to save that which is lost.
Amen.
That's our God. No matter how bad the times get, remember this, he's still on the throne. They're still worshiping him in heaven. He's still got it under control. But a question must be answered is this, our fourth question. How did these people get saved? How did they get saved? I'm going to answer that question with a Bible verse. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they, it says, which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white, underline this, in the blood of the Lamb. The same blood, listen, the same blood that was shed at Calvary for the sins of mankind still applies this time. It's the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that's able to wash away all sins. I'm glad, thank God, a thousand times that God didn't say, well, I got a deal for you. If you'll do right, I'll save you. I'd still be on my way to hell right now without hope and without God. And if I had to go out and wager a guess tonight, and if I were to say to you, how are you doing on that same side? You'd say, I'd be in the same shape because I'd be without hope and without God. But I know this much. When he says that thing about being white, made them white in the blood of the Lamb, I know who done the saving right there. It's the one that shed his precious blood at Calvary. Tonight, we don't have to worry about one thing because of Jesus Christ. He has gave himself for us. We've accepted him as our Savior. He's forgiven us of our sins. We are in a right relationship with God Almighty according to our eternal state. But the problem we get into is this. A lot of people make false professions of faith, and then we get down here, and they've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Their sins have not been washed away by the blood. because somebody tricked them into something when they were too young to understand, or they were trying to get over on parents or grandparents or something. I'll be religious and I'll be good. Or the man's wife leaves and he says, honey, I'll go to church if you'll just come back, and makes profession of faith. God's not looking for people to make professions of faith. He's looking for people to ask the Lord to save them and Him save them personally. He's not wanting to give you a second chance. He's giving you your only chance, and that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close this message tonight, let me say this. You only get washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, no matter what dispensation you live in, what time it is, or anything like that. Whatever your sin is, it's just Jesus. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work and you'd help us. Lord, that you would touch us and help us, Lord God, according to the great things of God. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen.